الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعضها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا. صلوات. Then we took the covenant of the children of Israel to worship none but Allah and to have beautiful and nice behavior towards the parents. And if the children do not perform the nice behavior which they are obliged to do, the children Islamically become arc from their parents. They got disassociated to their parents. And tonight I would like to shed some light on who is arc and what happens when a person becomes arc. سأل الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن العقوق. Somebody came and asked the Holy Prophet about the definition of uquq. How does a person becomes arq of his parents? And he said, يَأْمُرَانِ وَلَا يُطِيعُهُمَا. The parents are commanding him to do something, وَلَا يُطِيعُهُمَا, but he does not obey. That's one of the ways how any child becomes arq. And it is compulsory in Islam to follow the parents in every command other than the wajib and haram of Allah. Nobody can follow anyone regarding the wajib and haram matter of Islam, because that is the command of Allah and none is superior to Allah. And the Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam said that لا طاعة للمخلوق في معصية الخالق. مخلوق, the creation of Allah, has no obedience. Nobody can obey any مخلوق, any creature of Allah, at the cost of displeasing the Creator. Nobody can do that. Creator is above all. So we are supposed to follow the commands of the parents as long as far as those commands do not coincide with the wajib and haram of Allah. In all the rest of the matters, it is compulsory to follow. If they ask you to do something makruh, do it. If they ask you to do something mustahab, according to the fatwa of all fuqaha, that mustahab turns wajib. Like the parents of the fuqaha have said, in certain cases, the praying of jama'at in Islam itself is a mustahab, to pray with jama'at. Although it's mustahab and mu'akkad, so much emphasis and ta'keed made on the matter of congregational prayers. But in some cases the fuqaha have said that the jama'at prayers is wajib in some cases, and one of those cases is that when the person does not know how to recite the Arabic, the Quran, the Hamd and Surah and other things properly according to the laws of the Tajweed of Quran, laws of recitation of Quran, those who don't know, well, certainly it's wajib on them to know and to learn as soon as possible so that they can pray properly. Otherwise the prayers are batil if you don't read them properly according to the laws of Tajweed. Every language has its own laws. You have to abide, especially Quran, especially Arabic. Then we find it so sensitive that if you just mess around or change or alter one zabar in the place of a zair, one fatha in the place of a kasra, or any other change, then you sometimes can possibly change or overturn the meaning of the whole sentence. So it's wajib in Islam. Every baligh, Islamically mature girl or boy, as soon as he or she reaches the age of Islamic maturity, one of those wajibs after the proving the basic beliefs of Islam with evidence is that he should learn to read Quran. He should have already learned before he reaches that stage. But it becomes wajib on him or her to recite the prayers according to the proper way of reciting. And among those laws is that he should read it properly with the tajweed and recitation rules. So, what I was telling is that fuqaha have said that the first place where it's wajib for a person to pray with jama'at is for the person who does not know how to recite Quran with proper laws of tajweed. So at least he should pray with the jama'at always, so that at least the hamd and surah which the imam of jama'at is praying on his behalf, that is at least taken care of. Imam is saying that it's not wajib on you to repeat in the jama'at. So that's the first place. And the second place where the fuqaha had said it's wajib to pray with jama'at is that when you're done or both of your parents ask you to pray with jama'at. It will become wajib on the children to pray. So every mustahab turns into wajib. And the first point what I was telling you in the hadith of the Prophet, that how a person becomes aq of his walidain, is that يَأْمُرَانِ وَلَا يُطِيْعُهُمَا. The parents are commanding him to do something that he does not obey. And the second thing is that يَسْأَلَانِ, they are asking him to do something, but he deprives them of that thing. Takes me to the doctor, take me to the doctor. Just for example, bring this thing for me, buy this thing for me, and they can do that. But they deprive the parents of that and don't fulfill the need, the demand of the parents. So, and وَإِذَا رَآهُمَا, and when the son, the third point, when the son sees the parents does not perform what he was supposed to do towards his parents, all that respect, honor that you are supposed to give, as soon as you see your parents, you did not do that when you saw them. This irresponsible behavior entitles a child to automatically become ak, whether they express that we are ak now onwards or not, doesn't matter. It's not necessary for them to express. They automatically become ak. And Prophet has said that يُقَالُ لِلْعَاقِ, from Allah's behalf, it is said to the person who is aq of his parents, اِعْمَلْ مَا شَئْتَ فَإِنِّي لَا أَقْبَلُ مِنْكَ, do what you wish to do, but I'm not going to accept any of your acts. Prophet said, it is said to the aq, that اِعْمَلْ مَا شَئْتَ, do whatever good acts you want to do, I'm going to accept nothing, none of your good acts. وَيُقَالُ لِلْبَارِ, and it is said from God's behalf to the good-doing child who performs good towards his parents, it is said to him from God's behalf, اِعْمَلْ مَا شَئْتَ فَإِنِّي سَأَغْفِرُ لَكَ, do what you wish to do and I will forgive you, inshallah. I will forgive you in the future. So it is very important. A person came to see the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, I buried three of my daughters in the time of ignorance. You know, in the time of ignorance in Mecca, the idol worshippers used to feel bad if they have a female child born in their house. That's ignorance. Islam gives so much respect to a woman. And even al-mu'minatu a'azzu min al-mu'min, a mu'mina is more honorable than a mu'min. That's what Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said. How much honor Islam has provided to a woman. Does not tolerate any injustice in the favor of any of the sexes. So, he came, in the old days they used to bury, and he said that I buried three of my daughters before, now he's a Muslim, before I turned to Islam in those days of ignorance. And once when I had my fourth child born, and she was a girl, but my wife, she hid that girl, baby girl from me, and instead she told me that the girl had been born dead. And she sent a child, a female child, to some other person's home to save the life of that girl. And she hid that child from me. But after few years had passed, and I got to know that, well, that was my child and she is my daughter and she was born alive when my wife lied to me. What I did, I grabbed her immediately and took her out of the town of Mecca into the desert, and I was going to bury her. I make her stand there and I was digging up a grave for her to bury her alive. And as I was digging the grave, and there was perspiration, sweat on my forehead, and lots of dust and sand coming on my forehead, my young daughter, 3-4 years daughter, was peeling the dust from my forehead. But when I was done with that grave, I was so cruel, he said, that even with all the love that my daughter was showing towards me, I still buried her, laid her inside the grave, and she was shouting louder, "Oh my dad, what are you doing?" And but I paid no mercy, no importance to her, and I still covered her up, and she died. Is there a way out for me to repent? I did such big crime, burying four daughters alive. Now we come to the point. And Prophet said that, is there one of you, any one of your parents alive? see how much important it is in the eyes of Prophet and the whole Bayt to honor and serve your parents. How much! It can cover up all your sins. And he said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I have none of my parents alive. But I have my aunt, my maternal aunt, sister of my mother, living. Prophet said, go and serve her. Inshallah, Allah would forgive his sins. And فَإِنَّهَا بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْأُمِّ, because your khala, your maternal aunt, sister of your mother, is in the place and the position of your mother. That's how Islam teaches us to respect even the our aunts and uncles. They are in the place of the father and mother. Even we have hadith from Imam Riza alayhi salam. Where he has said, Al-Akhul Akbar bi manzilatil ab. Elder brother is in the place of the father. You have to respect your elder brother as well. He is in the place of your father. How do you respect your father? You have to respect your elder brother as well. Similarly. And another similar story about another person who came to the Prophet and said that Mamun Zambin, there isn't any sin that I did not do. I performed all of those sins. Fahalli bin Tawbah, do I still have a way for Tawbah and repentance? And Prophet again asked a similar question, Hal min Walidayka Ahadun Hayyun, is there any one of your Walidayn, your parents, alive? And he said, Abi, Naam Abi, my father is alive. And Prophet said, فَذْهَبْ فَبَرَّهُ, go and do good behavior towards your father. And when the guy went away, Prophet said, the riwayat says, Prophet said, لَوْ كَانَتْ أُمَّهُ, if only his mother was alive. In other words, I wish that his mother was alive in the place of the father. So we can understand that service to the mother covers up your sins faster as compared to the service towards your father, which also covers up the sins. But you have to serve your mother more than your father. Like a person asked to the Prophet, Man Abarro, whom do I do good towards? And he said, Ummaka, your mother. And he again repeated the same question, Prophet again said, mother. And for the third time when he repeated it, he said, Abaka, your father. So that's why our fuqaha say that two-thirds of the rights belong to your mother and one-third of the rights belong to your father. Salawat. And Ayatullah al-Uzma, Khaja Nasiruddin al-Tusi, one of our very, very great and unique personalities of the history, although all of our Marazi are respectable, but he was really unique. And he was the scholar of every knowledge that is existing. Topmost scholar of philosophy of his time, topmost scholar of fiqh and usul al-fiqh and irfan and ilm al-jafar and ilm al-a'dab and ilm al-ramal and tafsir and hadith and you name it, every existing knowledge of his time. Even the academic sciences like mathematics, he had book about mathematics, physics, astrology, you name it, every knowledge that used to exist in his time. He was the topmost authority of that knowledge in his time. He was so unique in our history. Khaja Nasiruddin al-Tusi, rahmatullah alayh. And Khaja has written in his book, in fact, all of his books were thrown into the river Furat by the prejudiced Sunni scholar of his time, Ibn Malik. And what Ibn Malik did, it's not bad to tell a little bit about that incident so that our youth realize how much turmoil and problems our scholars went through to safeguard our religion and deliver it to our hands, and how swiftly and easily we challenge the fatwa and hukum of mujtahids and their opinions and violate the laws that they define. How easy do we find to violate it and make fun, na'uzubillah, of some of those laws and fatwas? There was Ibn Malik, a very prejudiced Sunni scholar in his time, in the time of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi, and what he did, long story short, is that he got good ties, good relations to the ruler, the prejudiced ruler of his time in Iraq, and forced the king to take Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi in a boat, and king did it, and they brought all of the books written by Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi, and all of them were not printed because he was very poor. He was a marja of his time, but he was poor and could not publish none of his books. All were manuscripts written by his hand. And Ibn Malik took all of his manuscripts, and because Khwaja was defending the Shia religion in the entire world, in the entire Islamic world, he was the frontline warrior to defend Islam against the enemies. So out of prejudice, he took all those manuscripts, got in the boat, took the king with him, and as the boat reached the middle of the river Furat, Euphrates, what he did, he took one book after the other and dropped it into this river in the presence of Al-Khadr Nasiruddin Tusi. That's how our religion is safeguarded. And now, see the problems. And now Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi get back to his town and again wrote some of those books by his memory. And those are the books which are remaining in our hands of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi. Those are the ones, because all of his good books are gone. He had no reference books, no literature, nothing remaining in his hands. So the entire knowledges were again brought into the black and white by him out of his memory. And those books which we still have in our hands, which some of them are even part of our syllabus in the Hawza, are so concrete and solid words written, nobody can remove or change or alter one word of those books, and are valid since centuries. Such beautiful and solid words that he has written. How can we underestimate, undervalue, disregard, dishonor the services of our mujtahids towards Islam? And then what he did, he not just did that, but what he did is that after some time, he took, by one way or the other, it's a longer story which I'm not mentioning all those points, but howsoever it happened, he took the king again, and he took all the books of the sale of Ibn Malik in a boat with the king after several years, and what he did the same to the books of Ibn Malik and dropped them in the river Furat. And when he was, you know, requesting too much to have mercy, he just left two books of Ibn Malik which are also there about Arabic grammar, Ash-Shafiyah wal-Kafiyah, two books of Ibn Malik. So these are the problems and services that we find, great services of our scholars. Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi in his book, when talking about the rights of mother and father, he says that since the mother is the one who carries the child in her womb for 9 months and performs so much bodily services, material services towards her child, it is better for the son to perform more material services towards the mother as compared to the father, because the services that the father provides towards the child are more spiritual in their nature as compared to the services of the mother that are more tabi'i and maddi and material and in nature. So provide more luxuries to your mother so that she can live a relaxed and pleasant life. Provide more things of luxury for her to live respectably and in a relaxed way. And we find that one of our scholars, in his book, Malakut al-Quran, he writes that once he met a person, an old man, who had a special hal and kafiyat, and he was recalling Allah, the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, talking about them. He had a very special hal. You know the hal, the special condition of soul that some people have when they talk about Prophet and Ahlul Bayt or Allah and the stuff regarding their spirituality. He used to, whenever he used to take the wounds, he used to, his eyes were full of tears, and he had a special condition. It was obvious he had a special spiritual situation, hal and kafiyat, which is usually not found in everybody. It's rare. It's even among the alamat of the mu'min, as soon as the mu'min hears the name of Husayn ibn Ali, tears come into his eyes. One of the alamat of the mu'min. So this scholar, when he met that old man, he had that special hal and spiritual situation in him, and he realized that this halat that he had, and he asked him, well, I can see in you that situation of yours. What is the secret behind it, if you can tell me? How can we acquire this hal and kafiyat and spiritual situation regarding those holy things of Islam? Because he was doing dhirya and munajat and crying with that special hal. Everybody cannot do that dhirya. You find lots of people in societies, even if you, no matter how much you talk about Imam Hussein and all those problems that he faced and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they never have even one tear coming in their eyes. It's not without a reason. There is a reason. Because we have hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, what I was trying to say is that this hal and spiritual kafir that you do the munajat and crying for the sake of Ahlul Bayt and Prophet and Allah, recalling your sins, that special spiritual kafir and hal is not given to just everybody. It takes your eligibility to receive that situation and condition from Allah. So the scholar asked the old man, yeah, I was telling you the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about the tears. That ma jassat al-dumu' illa liqaswat al-qulub. The tears never dry up. Ma jassat al-dumu' The tears of a person never dry up except because of the qaswat of his qulub, qasawat of his qulub, because he is qasim al-qalb, stone hearted. I think I told you already, it's not correct to translate it like stone-hearted, because there are people whose hearts are worse than stones, because even they are stones. إِنَّ مِنَ الْحَجَرِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ Because among the stones, even we have certain stones that break up and fountains come out of it from the middle of the stones. So even there are stones that break up and accommodate the fountains to come out of it, but there are men whose hearts are stronger and tougher than the stones, that they never melt. No matter how much you tell about the Masaib of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and others. So the Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, مَا جَسَّتِ الدُّمُوْ The tears never dry up, إِلَّا لِقَسْوَةِ الْقُلُوبِ Except because of the qaswat and qasawat of the hearts. وَمَا قَسَّتِ الْقُلُوبِ إِلَّا لِقَسْوَةِ الْقُلُوبِ and the hearts never become qasi. Nobody acquires the qasabat of the heart except because of lots and lots of sins that he has performed. That's how the heart becomes qasi, and that's when the heart becomes qasi, that's why we find that he never cries. He never cries. There are lots of people who are like that. So the scholar, when he saw that old man crying in such a way about Ahl Bayt and Prophet and Allah, he asked him, how can we acquire that special situation in your spiritual situation, which is really, really found? And he said to the scholar, well, if you want to know the reality, the thing is that I had a mom who was very, very bad, who had a very bad and immoral behavior. And she used to even abuse me and say bad words to me. Although in Islam it's haram to say bad words to anybody. But again, even if the parents abuse the children doesn't have the right to abuse them back. You have to stay quiet. Let the thing, leave it on Allah. And even it's better for you, like I told you, the hadith of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, to forgive them. And the riwayat says, if they abuse you, do dua for them. If they hit you, instead the hadith says, do dua for them. These are the adab of Islam. Even if they hit you, don't hit them back, na'uzubillah. Do dua for them, hadith says. So he said, my mom was so abusive and she had a very bad tongue, used to say bad words to me, very bad behavior towards me. And I never married in my life because of the fact that I knew if I bring my wife in this home, there would be, I'm talking about problems every day with my mom. And I can't stand it. I cannot leave my mom, and I can't stand those mess and problems and hassles every day. So what I thought is better to avoid. And I did not marry throughout my life. What I used to do, I used to keep, because my mother was sick in her elderly age, and she used to sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and ask water from me. So what I used to do, that I always used to keep water with me when I used to sleep, and as soon as she can call me in the middle of the night, I can rush the water to her without delay. I always used to keep water with me close to the bed so that I can take care of her and do not delay in the service towards her. To that extent he was good towards his mom. And he said once in the middle of the night she woke up and she asked for the water, and I already had the water with me, and I rushed the water to her. Although I brought the water so quickly, but what she did, she said, well, you brought it so late, and she threw the glass in my face. He's telling to the scholar, she threw the glass in my face, and I had an injury on this head. But I still did not say a word of distress to her. Look at the nice behavior. And instead, I brought another glass and gave the water to her immediately, without saying a word. And he said, as soon as I did the sabr and patience and that incident where I did not say a word to my mother, even though she did what she did to me and I brought the second glass for her, I found a new arriving in my soul, in my heart. And even up till today, I feel that move in my heart that causes me such a spiritual situation to exist. Salawat. Allah never leaves His beloved people unattended. Never. Never leave them that. We should become eligible to receive the blessing. He is ready to give the blessings. We are not able to receive. We have problem in receiving. He doesn't have problem in giving. And those who are eligible, they are receiving and they have received and succeeded and reached to those higher positions. And once the Jibreel alayhi salam arrived on the Holy Prophet and said, Allah asks you if you please pay a visit to the graveyard of Baqi. Jibreel comes to the Prophet and requests him from Allah's behalf to please pay a visit to the graveyard of Baqi, so that by the barakat of your presence, Allah would terminate the azab of those people who are lying there in the graves. Well, what to talk of the Holy Prophet? He is unimaginably superior. We have hadith, we have riwayat that tell us about the fazilat of scholars. We have riwayat that says that even if a scholar walks through a graveyard, Allah terminates the azab of those graves for that period of time as long as the scholar is within the limits of that graveyard. What to talk of the Holy Prophet? He is so great. That's so clear, it's out of question. There cannot be any azab in the presence of such a strong nur close to the graves. Prophet is all nur. And Prophet paid a visit, and as he was passing through the graves, there in the graveyard he heard a voice coming from one of the graves, a young man, shouting, Ya Rasulullah, Kun Shafi'i, become my Shafi'i, do Shafa'at for me, help me, do me a favor. Loud voice, you can hear the voices of all those living and sitting in the graves, whether rewarded or punished. See and hear all of them. Prophets and Imams do that. So, while Prophet came close to the grave, put his ear on that grave, and closely heard those voices again. And that was a young man. And he was saying that, well, I am the ark of my mom. We were talking about the Uquq subject. I am the ark of my mom. And Prophet asked everybody to be together in the graveyard of Baqi. The whole city of Medina was, they made announcement and everybody was brought there. And his mom also came there. And Prophet asked her again to, you know, become pleased with him. And she said, no, I'm angry. What Prophet did is that Prophet put his abba over the grave and asked their mother to please come and just put your head, put your face over this abba on the grave. And now and Prophet prayed to Allah that, O my Lord, bi haqq Muhammad and al Muhammad, alayhi salam. Make her forgive. Or in other words, make her heart soft. So she did the same. Prophet put the abba and she put her face over the abba, and because of the dua of the Prophet and because of that abba of the Prophet, we find that she heard those voices. What was the voice? The riwayat says, the voice was coming such that, O my mom, the person said that, Amani fawqa ra'si naarun, there is a fire on top of my head. وَأَنْجَمِينِ نَارٌ, there's a fire on my right hand side. وَأَنْشِمَانِ نَارٌ, and there's a fire on the left hand side of mine. وَمِنْ بَيْنِ نَارٌ, and there's a fire inside me burning as well. So please save me. Loud, loud voice. And of course the mother is a mother. She forgave immediately. That's reality, brothers and sisters. These things, those people who die after disobeying their parents, that is exactly what they receive in their graves. These riwayat are lessons for us. That's why I'm narrating to you. So, Prophet announced that right now, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has terminated the azab of that person. This is a really serious matter. And another person about the same matter, we see that another person came to the Prophet and said that, Ya Rasulullah, I have given a measure to kiss if some this thing happens. What I would do is that I would kiss the forehead of the whore of paradise and the doorstep of the paradise. Strange nazar. You can do the nazar about anything which is mubah in Islam. And Prophet said, go and kiss the forehead. You want to fulfill the nazar? It's wajib to fulfill the nazar. He did the nazar to kiss the forehead of the whore of paradise and the doorstep of the paradise. And Prophet said, go and kiss the forehead of your father and kiss the underfoot of your mother. Can you imagine the position of the parents? He said, Ya Rasulullah, unfortunately, both of them have passed away. What can I do? We have to realize our duties towards the parents before they pass away. You never know. And after that you repent, because the door of barakat is closed on you. Now the things become stricter. So you better realize this in their lifetime. There are lots of people who say that we never knew. And then they repent. Prophet said, go and kiss the stones of the graves of your mother and father. And you have kissed the forehead of the who and the doorstep of the paradise. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, unfortunately I was a kid when my parents passed away. I don't know where are the graves of my parents. I don't know at all. And Prophet said, Islam always has a way out. You never come to a dead end in Islam. Prophet said, draw two lines on the soil, one with the intention of the grave of your father, one line with the intention of the grave of your mother, and kiss those two lines. As if you have kissed the forehead of the whore and the doorstep of paradise. These are very important points. So it's wise to wake up before it's late. Nobody can understand the position of a mother. Nobody. And nobody can provide the real services to her, how he deserves. Because she was all awake. And she was tolerating all those problems for you when you were relaxing. And there was a person who came to the Prophet and said that li walidatun balagha al-kibar. I have a mother who has reached the elderly age. And I take care of her. She resides with me in my home. أُطْعِمُهَا مِنْ كَسْبِي. I feed her with my earning money. وَأُمِيتُ عَنْهَا الْعَذَى. And I, take care of all of her, take care of her in such that no problem reaches her. It's a long hadith. I'm not going to tell him the whole. It would take longer time. I am taking care of all of her needs, to put shortly. فَهَلْ كَأْفَاتُهَا. Did my job towards her? And Prophet said, yeah, no. لِأَلَّا. What's the reason? Because, he said, لِأَلَّا بَطْنَهَا كَانَ لَكَ ذقاءً ذعاءً لأن بطنها كان لك ذعاءً وصدرها كان لك سقاءً ورجلها كان لك خداعًا because her button, her womb was your residence. You need to live inside her womb. How can you compensate for what she did? You used to live inside her. Now you are making her live in your home. How can you compare this with that? Because her womb was your place of residence. وَصَدْيَهَا كَانَ لَكَ سِقَاءً and her breast was your food. You used to feel, become full with the food she, milk she provided, breastfed you. وَرِجْلَهَا كَانَ لَكَ خَدَاءً and her feet was your carpet. In other words, you used to walk over her feet. وَحِجْرَهَا and her lap was the place of your relaxing. You used to relax in her lap. She's tired. She wants to sleep. She's sleepy. But since you are sleeping, she cannot sleep. She's awake throughout the night. How can you compare your services to her? The mother feeds you, although she's hungry. She feeds you. And she feels good about it that she's feeding you, although she's hungry. And she feels satisfied that she is feeding her child, although she herself is hungry. And that's what we find in Kabbalah. That when Hazrat Yaskar is there, nobody had water, including Hazrat Yaskar of 6 months. And what can the mother do? How much love a mother has towards the kid? She cannot breastfeed him. The milk has dried up. She cannot provide water to a Yaskar. And the mouth, like the scholars have narrated, the mouth of the child was open, ready to get something, because he was so thirsty. What can the mother do? What can Hazrat Rabab do towards Ali Yaskar? How much her heart would have been burning towards this situation? Only Allah knows the situation. And that is why we find that when Imam Hussain alayhi salam, see, this is in fact the love towards the Ma'naviyat, that when Imam Hussain announced, made that announcement, final announcement of his, Hal min nasirin yansurana, Hal min mughithin yughithana, Hal min zabbin yughidu an harma Rasulullah, is there anybody to come and help me, help us? Is there anybody to rescue us? And is there anybody to defend the haram of the Holy Prophet? And there was no response. Nobody responded, except there were reactions from two places. One was the khaymah of Hazrat Sajjad alayhi salam, where the riwayat says that Hazrat Sajjad came out with a broken spear in his hand towards the battlefield, and Imam Aqil ibn Kulthum, khudi hai, stop him, well, he's the inhabitor, he's the Imam, and stop her and keep her there, keep him there, and what's this? That Imam lifted Hazrat Sajjad in his lap because he was so weak, he could not walk properly. Imam lifted Hazrat Sajjad and took him, brought him back into the Qiyam. And the second reaction was in the khaymah of Hazrat Imam, where there were cries of women coming out. Imam came and asked her, Zainab, that my sister, what happened? And she said, that brother, you raised your voice for help, and Yaskar did not remain in his cradle. Now he's not coming in the lap of anybody. Imam came inside, and Imam said, okay, Imam did not not say any words by his mouth, the Levite did not narrate any words, but the Levite says, Abraham stretched his hands, and Elias automatically came into the lap of Imam, as if that Elias was waiting to go towards his father, to help his father, because he could not stand the call on the Lord's hand. And Imam, when you know when Imam was leaving Hazrat Sakina, and Hazrat Sakina saw that incident, Hazrat Imam is standing on the gate of the Khaymah, and Imam read her face, and said that Rabab, all those people who went up till now, at least they were able to fight, but your son is not able to fight. Maybe I can get some water for Aliyah's girl. And Sakina is listening to this conversation. And after that, when Imam came back with the janazah of Aliyah's girl in his hand, and the Ashqa, Murmala, sent an arrow that killed Aliyah's girl, and Imam took the blood in his hand, and the riot says, he was trying to throw the blood towards the sky, and there was a voice coming from the sky, that's what we are from the law, if you throw this blood towards us, towards me, there shall be no end forever in this world. And then Imam tried to throw it on the ground, and there was a voice from the earth coming, that Mara, if you throw this blood of innocence on my ground, there shall be no plantations ever going on the face of earth. Imam, what you did, Imam put the blood on his face, that I will meet my grandfather, Holy Prophet, with the face, with this face, with the blood of Eliezer on my face. And Imam now puts the daman of his abba over Eliezer and puts him back to the Khaymah. And remember, those ladies are waiting there. Hazrat Rabab is waiting there. And now that Imam came, Sakina already knew that Imam is taking Eliezer to get some water. Sakina came and asked that, Baba, you got water for Eliezer, but you did not bring water for me. So you think Eliezer is more beloved to you? You have Eliezer more beloved to you than me. You got water for Eliezer, but not for me. And Imam removed the diamond of Abba, and he saw that Eliezer is lying there. And Abba Fukaha, Abba Ulama have written, that was the only janazah, and die in all the shuhada of Karbala, that Imam has buried himself, that Imam dig up the grave and buried Eliezer there with the sword, and Imam gave him the ghusl, and the ghusl was given with the blood of Eliezer himself. Imam gave ghusl to Eliezer. Imam rubbed the blood of Eliezer over his body, and that was the ghusl given to Eliezer. And that's how he died. Then after the incident of Karbala, and these Ahlul Haram Mertek and Zemke Bala, he Kufa, then Kufa to Sham, and Hazrat Rabab was there, tolerating all those problems. But till the final time they arrived in Medina, we find that everybody was there, and Hazrat Zainab requested Hazrat Rabab to come inside under the roof, but Hazrat Rabab, throughout her life, she was always staying outside in the backyard, and she never came inside under the roof, although she used to recall that Imam Hussein, his body was lying, over the ground, without a shelter, without nobody to ride in cover to Hussein and Mary. How can I go under the shadow?
على رحمة الله على القوم الظالمين فيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون ما إله پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما پرچم کفر و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر اسلام کا سایہ ہمارے سروں کو برقرار رکھ تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما تمام اسیران اسلام کو جلد و جہد رہا فرما تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما، تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، لا الہ تمام مومنین جو پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما، جو بیمار ہیں بحق باب الحوائج ابو الفضل عباس علیہ السلام شفاء کامل و عاجل عنایت فرما، ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں، امام زمانہ